friends. I'm Kara Kay.
And I'm Elizabeth. And this is the Asking for a Friend podcast.
Each week, we are navigating challenging questions you have about yourself, the church, and the world.
But don't worry, we know you're only asking for a friend.
Today, we are answering the question, how do I lead when I don't feel like a leader? So join us as we break free from the status quo and engage in conversations that matter.
Okay, today we are going to start off with our segment we like to call It's the Little Things in Life. So, Kara Kay, what do you want to share about the little thing in your life?
Okay, so this week I discovered something that maybe everyone out there has heard of, but I have to share it because it changed my world. And I know it's just a little thing, but it just made my life so much easier. So we finally got into fall weather here in Texas.
Yes.
You know, and by fall weather, I mean it was 65 in the morning and then 89 in the afternoon.
Exactly.
So we got like 2 hours of fall weather. But I realized I don't have any fall clothes, but I don't like going shopping because shopping's the worst. Dressing rooms are the worst. And so I discovered Prime Wardrobe, Amazon Prime Wardrobe. So
I don't know about this.
Yes. So I didn't know about this either. And I was shopping on Amazon, you know, late in the evening, as we all do. And I saw something about Prime Wardrobe. And so I clicked on it. And okay, so you can add like 8 or more items. Now, don't hold me to this because I'm not a professional. This is what
You're
I
not an ambassador.
I'm not an ambassador. They did not pay me to say this, obviously. But you can get like 8 or more items that you choose from their selection of clothes, accessories, shoes, all kinds of things that you can have. And you choose them, you put them in your cart, you don't pay for them. You just order them and they ship it all to you in this huge giant box. My kids thought it was like Christmas morning when this box came. And I said, no, that's for mom, not for you.
That is mine, not
yours.
Yes,
that is for me. And then I had my own little fun fashion show trying on all my new clothes. So I ordered a pair of shoes, a couple of sweaters. I got like a jean jacket and just some fun stuff that was fall clothes. Now,
yeah,
I'll be honest. I kept the jean jacket, which I love and I've already worn a few times. And then I only kept a gray t-shirt because that's my staple wardrobe. And
you really branched out on that one.
I did not branch out because I don't do that. And then I kept a pair of yoga pants. So I was excited. But
that's awesome.
It was fun to try new things.
Okay, so tell me, because I have friends that are, like, they work for Stitch Fix.
Yes.
I don't know what their job title is, but they're the shoppers for Stitch Fix. And
yes.
I have friends who have done Stitch Fix. So how would you say this is different from that?
So no one is picking out your clothes for you. You're
okay.
Picking them out. So if you're like me and you are not a fashion person, you're probably going to pick out ugly clothes like I did. I picked out a couple of shirts and put them on and said, ooh, that's really bad. And so nobody's picking out your clothes. You are choosing them yourself.
Okay.
But you don't pay like a membership fee.
Nice.
If you're a Prime member, it's an option for you. So I loved that. It was just a fun thing to try out.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to have to try that because
yep.
I have a friend of mine tells me I have shopping bulimia because I buy and then I return.
But
yes. It feels like this is like set up perfectly for people like me.
Exactly. And then you don't get any like demerits from Amazon of, oh, you've returned too many things because
yes.
That's the whole point of this.
Okay, perfect.
So that's great.
I'm gonna try that.
Okay, so
awesome.
What about you? What has been your little thing this week?
Okay, well, mine also has to do with shopping. So do you do curbside?
I do.
Okay.
I love it.
You do. See, everybody tells me they love it. And I've only tried it twice. So maybe I need to get in a better rhythm. But I don't think I'm doing it right. Like I tried to enter stuff on the app and it wouldn't connect to my card. And I had to call and was on hold forever. And it was just kind of a nightmare.
I think you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I probably am. If it has something to do with technology and apps, I'm most likely doing it
wrong.
There
you go.
So I finally got it in my car, went and picked up my groceries, got them home, took the bag out of my car. They had put 2 jars of pasta sauce, 2 jars of jelly, and a jar of Nutella in one bag. Single bag, not double bagged. So I pulled it out of the car, everything all over, like broken glass, jelly, pasta sauce everywhere.
Not okay.
Had to spend 30 minutes cleaning that up with a shop vac. I mean, it was kind of a nightmare.
Like all in your car or outside of your car?
No, it was all over my driveway.
Oh, Still.
I know. So I don't know. I'm going to give it another shot, but I'm not completely sold.
Yeah.
It hasn't saved me much time yet between entering the order and then cleaning
Yes,
up the order.
cleaning it up.
Yeah.
And then having to go back to the store and get the things that broke.
Yeah. So then I went back to get the things that broke. They didn't have them ready. I had to wait 20 more minutes. And then they brought me the wrong stuff. And by that point, I was like, oh, forget it. I'll just deal with it. But so I'm not rejecting it completely, but I'm not also completely sold.
Yeah. Well, we can't win them all.
I know. It's the little things in life, though.
Yep, that's right. So we would love to hear the little things in your life that maybe are making or breaking your week. So feel free to come share your little things with us on social media this week.
Have you ever considered planning a gathering? Whether it's a retreat, reunion, workshop, or celebration, gather your tribe and meet at Gathering Oaks. Tucked away just outside of Waco, Texas, Gathering Oaks offers 19 unique bedrooms plus 2 meeting spaces. On over 30 acres with a shady central courtyard and pool, it's a serene location to relax and stay. Whether you want to catch up with old friends around a fire, spark the next big idea for your company, or celebrate a milestone, Gathering Oaks has everything you need to reconnect, retreat, and rejoice. For more information or to book your stay, go to GatheringOaksRetreat.com.
Today we are tackling a topic that we know so many women struggle with, and that is leadership. I feel like this topic is really thrown at us so much these days of be your own boss, or, you know, we see books and seminars and all these things about how to be a good leader. But how do we approach this when we don't feel like a leader? And so that's what we want to tackle today, is what does that tangibly look like for women in their home, in their church, or in their workplace when they maybe don't feel like a leader?
Yeah, I was excited to talk about this today because I actually spoke at a MOPS leadership training about a month ago. And the leader of MOPS, you know, she spoke to me beforehand and she said, I really want these table leaders to feel like they are leaders, you know, like they are more than just taking attendance or writing down prayer requests, that they really do have a significant opportunity to speak truth into the lives of these moms at their table, that they could become the go-to person when that mom is struggling or, you know, just having a bad day or has something they want to celebrate. And so it was interesting to get to talk to these women and sort of try to help them reframe their own thinking of, you really have been given a position of leadership here that's more than just, you know, checking a box or sending out a weekly email, that there's a lot more to that. But I think you're right. I think a lot of people think they are not leaders because they're not leading an organization or a ministry, or they don't have a quote real job, you know?
Right. I think if we don't have a title of CEO, or we don't work in, you know, the workplace of some sort, we don't feel like we are a leader. If we don't have, you know, adult humans under us, you know, there's a lot of moms who that you are a leader in your home. But people don't see themselves in that way. So we just want to take a few minutes to kind of talk through some ways that we can practice leadership, no matter where you find yourself, because we all are leaders in one aspect or another. And so let's just talk through some ways that we can find ourselves being leaders and how we can stretch our minds and stretch this practice of leadership. So one way that I have worked over and over of being a leader is constantly being a learner. I think that we can get ourselves in trouble when we think, oh, I have arrived. I know everything I need to know about whatever topic it is. That word expert, I feel like, is kind of overused. I don't think any of us ever become an expert in anything. I think that we can be constant learners and always be working toward, you know, opening our minds and learning more about the people around us, maybe the people that we are in a leadership position over. And that helps us to be more humble, for one, and it helps us to be a better leader in whatever place we find ourselves.
Yeah, you are really good at this because you are always reading different books and trying to understand other people's perspectives. And you have obviously inspired me. We were talking just like a week ago about how you always listen to Audible books on Audible or from your library. And so I immediately like downloaded my library's app, and I've already listened to 1.5 books in like a week. I know, it's been so great. So yeah, you're just great at constantly learning. And I don't know if I read this or heard this, but that you should read one book a year that is completely out of your comfort zone. So for me, that would be a book about math or science or, you know, astronomy or, you know, something like that.
That's interesting. Maybe,
I don't know, a finance book. Like those are things that are all my weaknesses, out of my comfort zone. And honestly, I'm not really that interested in them.
Yeah, exactly.
But the point was, you know, like you were saying, like, broaden your horizons, get out of your comfort zone, challenge your brain a little bit. So I thought that was really good advice.
Love that.
Okay. So another way that I think we can practice leadership in our sphere of influence, whether that's our family or even just a small group or our group of friends, would be just being a good listener. So I met with someone this morning, and my prayer on the way there, I just kept praying like, Lord, just help me to listen to her. And so if you want to listen, you have to be able to ask good questions. But, you know, even just sometimes people require more questions than other people. Some people are very open and sharing, and some people need a little more prompting. But I think just listening to people, everybody wants to be heard and understood.
That is such a good point of asking good questions. And that's something that I've struggled with in the past is I don't know the right things to ask. And I'm not, you know, so I think a lot of times when people struggle with that, we tend to end up talking about ourselves more because everyone's comfortable sharing about themselves.
Sure.
But when we can stop talking about ourselves and we can actually listen to what this other person is saying and dig into their story and really listen to what they're saying or might not be saying. I do this with my kids a lot because sometimes my kids will be sharing something with me and I know, okay, there's something they're not saying here that they really want me to hear.
Yeah.
And I think we have to do this with all the people that we are around, is to be good listeners for them and listen to what they are saying and listen to what they're not saying, because there's always something that people are trying to communicate to us.
One more thing about being a good listener. So I know over many episodes we are going to talk about the Enneagram. So I'm just going to jump right in here. So I feel like when we talk about leaders, we automatically envision someone speaking or leading from a stage or delegating, you know, doing all of those, you know, high-powered CEO type roles. But I think sometimes some of the best leaders are the people who are more in the background. You know, I'm married to an Enneagram 9. So they are very compassionate, very loyal, and great listeners. And there's so many times we would be in our small group at church, and I'm the more task-oriented one, and I would be concerned with, you know, writing down the prayer requests and, you know, just making sure everything's functioning. And after everyone would leave, my husband would say kind of what you just said, like, so-and-so was really quiet tonight. And I felt some tension between him and his wife. Like, I think something's wrong. I think I should call him. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't pick up on any of that. You know,
yeah.
I was making sure everyone had water. And, so I think sometimes the best leaders are the ones that can sort of pull back a little bit and just observe and really read the room and read people's needs.
Oh, that's so good. And we will talk about the Enneagram a lot because we love it. So just buckle up because here we go.
That's right.
But that's so true. And I think that's why we are all gifted so uniquely, that we can all lead in different ways and that we need each other, because none of us lead in the same way. So that's so great. Another way that we can practice good leadership is by being a good follower. And I think this goes along great with being a constant learner and listener. I think a lot of these things tie together. But sometimes when we get ourselves in a place of leadership, whether you are the person that is the CEO or you are, you know, just mom and you're leading your family, we get ourselves in this into our heads and think, oh, well, I'm in charge here. And we forget that we have to be constant learners and we have to follow the lead of someone else. And we have to have those other leaders in our lives that we're looking up to, that we're staying accountable to, and that we're always learning from and how we can be better. I think a lot of this ties into mentorship. As women specifically, it's hard sometimes for us to have the time, energy to have the ability to have mentors or to be mentoring other people. But that's a great way to be a leader, is to have somebody in your life that you are mentoring and walking alongside, it because that's just an incredible way that we can learn and walk in leadership.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm currently mentoring one person and I'm about to start mentoring another. And my husband made that comment like, oh, great, because you have so much time on your hands. But it's so important. And as I'm thinking through, okay, I'm about to be pouring into two women. I need someone to pour into me. I need to learn to take advice and wisdom from someone else. So that's kind of something I'm praying through is, you know, who could I approach about, you know, just speaking truth and life into me?
Yeah, I think this is especially difficult and important for women to do. It's hard for us to ask for help. And so we tend to say, it's fine, I've got this, I can do it on my own. But we need to have the support system built around us to be able to do whatever job we're doing, to be able to do it well. Whether you are leading a Bible study in your church, you shouldn't be doing it on your own. You should have a support system in place of people praying for you and just checking in on you every week, whether it's just, maybe it's just your best friend, maybe it's, you know, a group of women at the church, whatever that looks like. Just to have a support system built in will really help you succeed as a leader.
Yeah. I have a question for you. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here.
Yeah.
Cause you said it's hard for us to ask for help and, you know, we have to feel like we have to put it all or we have to have the appearance that we have it all together. Do you feel like as a pastor's wife that you have to have like portray that facade that you have it all together?
I do. And it's something that I've always fought through. And thankfully I feel like there has been a shift in this.
Yeah.
Especially in the church that we are in right now. I feel like there's been a little bit of a shift in our culture recently to where we're able to be more real, able to be more authentic, and that the pastor's wife isn't necessarily looked at and expected to uphold this certain standard.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. And I've had that conversation with several other pastors' wives in our church, and they feel that same way, where maybe years ago they felt like, you know, they had to have it all together. They had to show up looking a certain way. They had to host so many things. But now it's like they feel more of a release to walk in their own giftings. Our pastor's wife specifically, she is a school teacher and it's what she loves to do. And she has four kids and she loves doing that. And so she's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily feel called to be a huge part of her husband's ministry, even though she supports him. And I think a lot of times we look at those like lead pastor's wives and we expect them to like have the perfect hair and the perfect clothes on and be up there up front, but not all not all women are called to that.
Right.
And so I think that it kind of gives us a release to know that God doesn't call every woman just because she's married to a certain person to those roles. And so I have felt a release from that stigma over the past few years, which has been really, really great.
That's awesome. Yeah. I bet that's just a huge weight lifted.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right. What else can we do to practice leadership right where we are?
I think just one more thing we can do is just take some steps to start in leadership. Because if you don't feel like a leader, and you have this leadership role in front of you, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's asking for help and learning about what it looks like to be a leader, you just have to take baby steps to get there, because we've all been there. We all have a role that we don't feel equipped for. And we just have to say, okay, I'm going to take these steps and I'm going to do the best that I can in whatever place that God has put me in.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just a word of encouragement to moms with little bitties. My kids are ages 3, 5, 10, 12, and 14. And I am just now feeling like I'm in that leadership role with my older ones. I think when we have little ones running around, you're just so entrenched in the daily grind and you don't see your role as a leadership role, even though it very much is. But if I can just encourage women who have little ones to just hang in there, that you will probably feel more like a leader when they get a little bit older can actually carry on in a semi-intelligent conversation, you know, and they start asking you, you know, what does this mean? Or I overheard this, or, you know, I want to watch this. Why can't I, you know, and that's when you start getting into more of those character building conversations. I've noticed, okay, like everything I've been doing is starting to pay off. It can feel like that day's never going to arrive when your kids are young, but you will get there. So just embrace your leadership role, even if you have little bitties, even if you have older kids. And then obviously, like we've been talking about, even if you have no kids or not married, you know, in the workplace, in ministry, in your neighborhood, wherever God has planted you.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, just like you said, wherever God has planted you, because I think that's so true. And that picture of motherhood is a great example, because sometimes our leadership role starts really small and mm-hmm. it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And we don't feel equipped for it. Mm-hmm. And we're growing every day into this thing. And then years may go by. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in this position that feels bigger and it feels bigger than ourselves. And we find ourselves actually doing the work that we've spent all these years working up to. So Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's what God was doing. This is what he was preparing me for.
15 years, but we get there and all makes sense.
That's right.
So, okay, we're going to take a minute and take all this back to scripture and tie in a story that I love. I think the great thing that we can learn here is every time we look at scripture, we see God using people that were never all that well equipped for whatever mm-hmm. position he was going to put them in. And that always encourages me to know that I don't feel equipped for whatever job I'm stepping into today, but I know mm-hmm. that when I'm placing my trust in him, that I will be able to accomplish whatever task he set before me.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at the story of Esther today, and I'm just going to give you a little background if you don't know the story of Esther well, and you guys can go and read her story on your own. She has her own book in the Old Testament. But Esther was a perfect example of somebody who didn't lead naturally, didn't feel like a leader. Her story takes place, to give you a little context, it takes place between 483 and 473 BC. And this was during the reign of King Xerxes. Now, King Xerxes was kind of a jerk and he went through multiple wives and he brings Esther into his harem and he eventually makes her his queen. So Esther is a Jewish woman. And so she comes in and she decides to be quiet and just follow the rules because her cousin Mordecai has helped her through this and just kind of convinced her, let's do this and let's convince King Xerxes to do the right thing. But King Xerxes has this right-hand man named Haman, and he's really terrible. He wants to wipe out all of the Jews. And so Esther, with the help of her cousin Mordecai, she goes in and wins the favor of the king, which is unheard of. So Esther could have just been killed on the spot by going to the king and asking for help, or even going and speaking to the king. But she goes to him and reveals the truth about Haman and ends up saving her people. And she would have much rather stayed hidden and not stepped out as a leader. But when she found herself put in this situation, she stepped up and she did what was needed to be done and made a difference that affected her people, affected history. So mm-hmm. I love this story. And every time I think about how I don't feel equipped as a leader, I always think of Esther.
Yeah, I love that story. And one thing I love about it is she's so human, just like us. And her first instinct was self-preservation.
Yes.
You know, she thought, if I go talk to him, she says, surely I will perish, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's all of us, like our first instinct is to think of ourselves and how is this going to affect me?
Yeah, we do. Cause we think, oh, I need to run. Something's going to go bad. Mm-hmm. We are only thinking of ourselves.
Yeah. How is this going to make me look?
Yes. But when it comes down to it, God was always there to take care of her. mm-hmm. and her people, and he's going to do the same for us. So we just have to remember that.
Yeah. And I love the part in that story where, you know, Mordecai reminds her, like, basically, God doesn't need you. If you don't do this, a leader will arise yes. and will, you know, will do this. And I think that's such a good lesson for us that it's a privilege to be put in leadership by God, however, you know, quote, small or big of a role that is. Like, that's a privilege. And if Absolutely. We don't step up to the plate, God will find someone who will.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Okay, we're going to go into kind of a question and answer round so we can bounce some questions and answers off of each other here.
Okay, I'm going to start. So I'm curious, what are some ways that you have been surprised, or maybe some areas in life where you've been surprised to find yourself in leadership?
Probably being a leadership over other moms. It really took me by surprise because I didn't feel necessarily equipped because I didn't feel like the best mom. I didn't feel like I had it all together as a mom. I didn't feel like I had all the answers. And then in my darkest and hardest season of motherhood, God led me to start a ministry, Thrive Moms, that I still run now. And so that was very surprising to me that in our hardest seasons, God can walk us through and lead us into this amazing time of leadership.
Yeah. Did you have in your mind like a picture of, well, this is what the ideal mom looks like, and I don't look anything like that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Because I thought she has it all together. She knows exactly what to do. She has all the right answers. And I didn't have
She's always
any of those.
Patient.
Yes. Sorry. She's always kind. She's always patient. And I was not at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why we get along so well.
Yes, I think so.
We can relate.
Okay. Have you ever felt held back from leadership because you are a woman?
Okay. Yes. One particular instance that comes to mind was someone had reached out to me about speaking at their church at a marriage retreat. I was super excited because I speak a lot on marriage and family issues. And, you know, I wrote back to them. We kind of planned it all out. And then towards the end of the back and forth conversations, they said, well, would your husband be willing to come speak with you? We're not sure whether we can have you come by yourself. And I was, you know, very disheartened. And as you were saying, like, not every pastor's wife feels called to the same ministry as her pastor husband. That's the same case thing. With me and my mm-hmm. husband. Yeah, he's an attorney. Yeah. He has spoken with me before because we do some marriage ministry stuff at our church, but that's not his first calling. His first calling is, you know, lots of other things. And so that was just really disappointing. You know, I ended up not speaking at that church because my husband wasn't available that weekend, and also just kind of felt like this isn't, you know, like I said, this isn't really his calling. And so, yeah, that was one time when I felt like, oh, well, I guess only men can lead marriage retreats, not women.
Yeah, that's tough.
It was tough.
Okay, what advice would you give to someone who doesn't feel like a leader but finds themselves in a leadership role?
Oh, that's awesome. I would say, just like what you said, going back to scripture and finding all the examples of people who also didn't feel like leaders, but God put them in that role, such as Esther, Moses is a perfect example. You know, we all have inadequacies and insecurities that can prevent us from feeling like a leader, feeling like we can handle whatever God has given us. But if that's the situation and the role he's given you, then surely he will equip you. So I think just going back to scripture and also I would say, look at history and, you know, God didn't just pluck you out of your day-to-day life and stick you in this leadership role. He has probably been preparing you, and it's probably been a series of steps that have led to this place. So I would say, look back at what God has been doing and how he has prepared you.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Okay. Last question. What area do you feel least equipped, or in what area do you feel least equipped to be a leader?
I think for me, it's probably leading other women in the church, which is interesting mm-hmm. because this is one of the things that I feel most called to. Mm-hmm. But I think it kind of goes back to the question that you answered a minute ago, that being held back from leadership because we're a woman, sometimes I feel that I don't feel like I should be doing this because I'm a woman. And so I convince myself, well, I'm not supposed to do this, so I feel ill-equipped for it because I'm a woman.
Right.
And so I just kind of end up sitting down, shutting my mouth, and not doing the things that I feel like God has really called me to do in the church, and I know that I can make a difference in, because of my own insecurities a lot of times, and just because I think a lot of times of those boundaries that the church needs to overcome of women in the church and what that looks like. And so for me personally, that's really tough.
And is that, do you think you feel like that because someone has said something or something's happened in the past, or is this just your sort of like taking a step back and looking at the church as a whole?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is that overview, like looking at the church as a whole. And I mean, I see that we're making strides in it, but they're slow strides.
Yes.
And it's just those things that I'd love to see the church take bigger steps. And, but, you know, baby steps sometimes.
Yeah. I remember this was many, many, many years ago. I was on a search committee for our church's executive pastor. And it came up, well, are we only accepting applications from men? And I think where everyone landed, which I was one of the few women on the committee, was, I mean, a woman could submit her application, but we're really only considering men.
Yeah.
And that was, again, just super disappointing, because I'm sitting there thinking an executive pastor is very much in charge of administration and, you know, leading small groups and things like that. And women are sometimes better equipped than men at those tasks.
Right.
So I thought that was, I don't know, interesting and disappointing.
It is. Yeah, it is hard.
Yeah.
So following along with that last question, this last week on social media, I asked that question, and I asked women how they felt least equipped as a leader and asked them to share their responses. So I want to share some of the responses that we got, and so we can chat through those a little bit, because I hope that it helps everyone feel not so alone in these areas that they may feel not equipped for.
Yeah.
So one listener said, when I asked, what area do you feel least equipped to be a leader? She said, motherhood. She's currently working through why she feels that way in therapy, but she feels like it's legalism. The deep-rooted lie that to be a good mom, I must only be a mom, which isn't true, but leads to guilt and inadequacy when she enjoys working and being in ministry.
Yeah, I think a lot of women feel like that. They feel really like that mom guilt if they really enjoy working. And especially if their family doesn't need them to work financially and they're choosing to work, they feel really, they can take on that guilt.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. We will definitely talk more about that in another episode.
I agree.
Okay. Let's see. Another listener said, as a young pastor's wife, I feel ill-equipped to lead older women.
Yes, I get this because I am a young pastor's wife and it's hard for us sometimes to feel equipped and feel like we have the place to lead women who are ahead of us. But I also think that we should always have support when we're leading older women. A few months ago, I taught at our women's event at our church where we had a lot of women. And I made sure that I had some of my mentors in place that could help me through my talk, help me through the planning, to make sure that I wasn't just putting my thoughts and my ideas into this, but I had those older mentors around me too, to say, okay, well, this is the best way to speak to these women, to where I could have open conversations with them and say, how can I, as a leader, be able to reach you and your generation, and then also for the generation behind me as well, because I kind of find myself in the middle, and there's a lot of like younger new moms coming up and college age girls coming up behind me. How can I help them too? And so I think it's really great for us to have people, you know, close people in our sphere that we can ask those questions to, just be really raw and honest and say, I want to be able to reach you. How can I do that best? And then I think we can lead them well whenever we are not just doing it because we feel like we need to, but when we have the help to do it.
Yeah, that goes back to what we talked about before, how we can be a good leader right where we are. And we talked about getting support from other people, learning from other people, listening to other people.
Yes.
So I think, yeah, I think if you do all those things with a generation above you and below you, it will not only enrich your leadership skills, but it will just enrich your experience. Yeah. Okay. So another listener said, I feel unequipped for women's ministry. I don't feel equipped as a Bible study leader because I worry that I will give the wrong answers or mislead someone.
Yes, I think a lot of women feel this way. And I think the Bible can be very overwhelming for so many women. And I mean, I feel this way, and I write Bible studies, and I love studying the Bible, but I still feel this way. And so I don't think there's anybody who doesn't feel ill-equipped as a Bible study leader. And I think the number one thing, and I'm sure someone gave me this advice one time, because I don't think I'm smart enough to come up with this by myself. But I think the best thing we can do is say, I don't have the answer to that right now, but I'd love to go look that up, or, you know, come look it up with you, and let's figure it out together. Because for us to try to look like we have it all together and have all the answers, I think that's misleading the people that we're trying to lead.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, I always laugh because I went to seminary. And so I feel that pressure that people think, well, she should know this. She went to seminary. And I always tell them, the number one thing I learned in seminary was how much I don't know about the Bible.
Right.
I mean, that's really what I walked away from was I feel more confused and have more questions than when I came into this place. But yeah, I think that's the biggest lesson I've learned, is just not to be afraid to say, I don't know, but I'll look it up and I'll get back to you next week. Or I don't know, why don't we both do some research and then we'll talk about it. It's okay to not know.
Yeah, because it's a lot. It's a lot to know. And if you try to know it all, you'll probably be wrong.
So. That's right. That's right.
So a few listeners said that they didn't feel equipped for their roles as a wife or a mom, that the role of just normal everyday life felt so overwhelming that it was hard for them to lead in their home. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to encourage these women?
Oh, my goodness. You know, an older woman, like in a generation above me, said one time, she said, mothering in your generation is so much more difficult than it was in my day. You know, we have so much pressure on ourselves. We put pressure on ourselves from social media, you know, the Pinterest culture. Oh, don't even get me started on that. Oh my gosh. And then, you know, we try to be perfect in every single area. Whereas I think before, you know, she was telling me in her day, she was like, I liked gardening. So I just did gardening, and someone else enjoyed crafting, or someone else enjoyed cooking. And she said, now there's pressure to be good at all of it, and to dress your kids the right way, and to be involved in PTA and the church, and work full time and serve your husband. I mean, we have created an impossible standard for ourselves. And so I would just encourage someone, hey, number one, just ditch that standard. You're never going to reach perfection. Give yourself grace. It's okay. I think I always say that's the best thing Five Kids has done for me, has helped me realize that I don't have to be good at everything. I don't have to try everything. I don't have to be involved in everything. That it's okay almost to slack off a little bit, you know, give yourself that grace. And then I would say, I don't think there's any of us who feel really equipped to be a wife and a mom, that we are all, not that we're making it up as we go along, but we are all just trying to do our best. And some days our best isn't great, and other days we're going to knock it out of the park. And that's okay. We're human.
Yeah, we are.
Spoonful of Faith is a creative shop and design studio by illustrator Gina Holiday. God showed up in a beautiful way, merging Gina's love of marketing with her passion for art and creativity. Her studio focuses on creating thoughtfully illustrated pieces for small businesses and brands. Additionally, Spoonful of Faith is passionate about empowering creative women and offers support through an online community called Mother Creative, as well as a newly launched creative shop of faith-centered apparel, stationery, and artwork for your home. You can save 15% off this week by using code ASKINGPOD15 when you shop at spoonfulofaith.com.
All right, right, guys, we have loved being with you today. And at the end of every episode, we are going to wrap up with some helpful resources. And we want to share things with you that is helping us rethink the way we view ourselves, the church, and the world. So, Elizabeth, what about you? What are you consuming right now that is helping you rethink some things?
Okay. Do you follow the Instagram account called Preacher Sneakers?
Oh, yes. I love it. The best.
It's hilarious. Okay. But really, it really is very thought provoking. I mean, the whole, if for anyone listening out there, if you don't know what Preacher Sneakers is, it's an Instagram account and it blew up in the first couple of days. This guy created it. And what he does is he finds preachers, worship leaders, you know, kind of in that Christian famous circle. And he will highlight their, well, he started with sneakers, but now he's moving on to like other parts of their wardrobe.
Yes. Anything they wear.
Yes. I mean, anything is fair game to him. And he just highlights like, hey, you're wearing a Gucci belt. It costs $600, or you're wearing, you know, these Fendi shoes and they cost $1,200, and, you know, people comment, but it's this interesting, debate about how much is too much and what is God calling us to do with our resources? And, you know, I think a lot of the people he's highlighted are saying, well, I'm trying to be relevant to the people I'm reaching and, you know, this is what they wear so they can relate to me. But then there's the other side of the debate that says, but as stewards of what God has given us, is this going too far? So right. It's just an interesting debate. It's also pretty funny.
It is really funny too.
Yeah. But I listened to, he also now has started a podcast, and I listened to episode number 4, where he interviewed Jonathan Pacluda, which he's written a book called Welcome to Adulting. It's for kind of millennials, and other people can read it too, but it's for millennials. He was at, he was a pastor at the church in Watermark. Now he's a pastor at a church here in Waco. And he just had some really insightful, biblically based things to say that I felt really added some meat to the conversation. So I would highly recommend people listening to that podcast.
That's awesome. So I'm going to have to go check that out.
Yeah. It's episode number 4 of the Preachers and Sneakers podcast.
And definitely go follow Preachers and Sneakers because it's just fun.
It is fun.
My husband told me one time, he's just grateful that nobody's posting him on that because nobody cares about how much his Adidas tennis shoes cost that he's wearing.
Real. I know. I'm like, girl, I shop at Target mostly. Exactly. So yeah, you're not going to find anything on me. Unfortunately, I wish I could afford those Fendi tennis shoes.
Oh, or yeah. Not happening.
Gucci belt. Yeah. Not happening in my world with 5 kids. Kids, you can either go to college or mama can get a Gucci belt. Let's choose.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So I am currently rereading one of my favorite books, and it's called Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson.
Yes.
And if you guys have not heard of this book, if you have not heard of Bryan Stevenson, I don't know what hole you have been living under, but my husband and I have decided that we're going to campaign for Bryan Stevenson to be the next president because this man is incredible. The work he does is just unreal. The book Just Mercy follows his work through social justice in the prison reform system. And he is a social justice lawyer. And man, he's just amazing. The first time I read Just Mercy, I told my husband, Brooke, I said, that's it. I'm going back to school. I'm going to law school and I've always had this like urge to go to law school just because I'm an Enneagram 1. I have that justice thing in me that I always want to fight for the marginalized.
Yep, I can see that.
But it's just reading the story is so powerful. And I love the work that he's doing. His organization is called EJI, and we'll link them in the show notes, but I highly recommend going and following him, their organization, and reading Just Mercy because you will learn so much about our criminal justice system.
So is it nonfiction or is it a memoir?
Yeah, it's more of a memoir. It's his story of when he began as a lawyer, and it kind of starts out as when he went to law school, and then he took this internship that totally changed the course of his life. And then it's his story of helping a few people through these people who were on death row for that they were wrongly accused of crimes.
Oh, wow.
And so it's very hard to read, but so important for us to see, because a lot of times we don't see that side of the criminal justice system. We don't realize what's going on. And reading these real life stories is unbelievable. And they've turned it into a movie, and the movie comes out this December. So I'm reading back through the book right now because I'm so excited for this movie to come out. It has Michael B. Jordan, which I'm real excited about.
I love him.
Anyways, awesome. I know he's the best. And so it's going to be so good. But
oh, good. Yeah. So I know I've heard this book recommended by so many people and I have yet to read it. But because of you, because we talked about it last week, I've bought it.
Yay.
It has been delivered by Amazon. So as soon as I finish the book I'm currently reading, I'm going to tackle that one.
Great. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So probably by the end of the week, I'll get on that. I'm excited.
Sounds good. Well, guys, we would love to hear what resources are helping you rethink the way you view yourself, the church, and the world. So always come and share those resources with us. If you have something, a book or a resource that you would like to share with us, we want to hear what you are learning from.
Thanks for listening today as we chatted about leadership. We hope this conversation helps you rethink the way you view leadership in your home, in your workplace, and in your community. Make sure you join us next week when we will ask the question, how do I love myself if I don't like my body?
And don't forget to leave a review on iTunes so more people can find us and help us work through these important issues that affect us all. Also, we would love to connect with you on Facebook and Instagram at The Asking Pod. So go follow us. And each week we'll post a new question about something we are discussing on the podcast. And we always want your input.
And finally, keep asking questions for a friend.